It only takes a few who ask God to anoint and bless. I want to thank these ladies for blessing us today. I also want to recognize our, neophyte in the ministry, the person of Minister Tyrone Campbell. He's our latest minister at Tolliver Chapel. The word this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 6. I'd like to begin reading at verse 46, and I'll read down through verse 49, where the word declares, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." Amen. We're dealing this morning with this matter of an anchored soul. In Pisa, Italy, there's a famous monument known as the Leaning Tower of Pisa. It finally reopened to the public after many years because they had finally completed a $25 million renovation project that was designed to stabilize the tower. And as a result, they had to remove some 110 tons of dirt. They reduced its famous lean by about 16 inches because the tower had been further and further away from the vertical for hundreds of years, to the point that the top of the 185-foot tower was some 17 feet further south than the bottom. Italian authorities were concerned that if nothing was done, that tower would soon collapse. One would think it was because of the bad design, poor workmanship, or an inferior grade of marble, but the problem, my brothers and sisters, was underneath. For the sandy soil on which the city of Pisa was built was not stable enough to support a monument that size. And it was all because the tower had no foundation. Jesus, in our text this morning, warns us as children of God to avoid this problem and to make sure that our spiritual life is grounded on a solid rock. The majority of us gathered here in the sanctuary this morning, I'm sure, had a moment or moments when you knew within your heart that if God had not stepped in when he did, you would not have made it through a rough time in your life. If God had not moved when he moved, if God had not sent that miracle when he sent it, if God had not slowed your roll, if you please, and clued your dusters and flipped your script, you would not have made it. For it was God's divine intent to cause us to see a wreck just opposed to be a wreck. Have I got a witness?
Because if the truth be told, many of us would have to declare that we have had moments when God moved us through and moved us past, leaving us to declare, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, where would I be? I need to declare in the outset this morning that we can praise God for the blessing of being able to stand on the authority of his word. And when our foundation is sure, and when our foundation is secure, we have an anchor that's guaranteed to help us. Jesus said in his word, not we might have, not we, but Jesus said, in this life we will have tribulation. But can I tell you, he did not leave us without a shout, because he did declare, but I have overcome the world. I'm so glad anybody know that there are times when you just have to stand firm. Even when you can't trace God, you've got to trust God. Even when you don't know God's heart, you've got to trust God's hand. Well, here in our text, Jesus addresses his disciples, assuring them and assuring us that when we build on the Lord's foundation, God will always help us make it. Yes. That when you build on a solid foundation, you can always endure and you can always overcome every trial and every test, every storm that may come your way. So Jesus says here in our text that I want to show you somebody who genuinely hears my word and then acts on what they heard. So he sets up, if you please, this dichotomy of particularity with two builders. He says of the first, he says he's like a man who built a house, but before he built it, he dug deep, refusing to build a house where there was no proper foundation. He goes through the process of digging deep and clearing out all the debris and anything that will impede that house from being built on a solid foundation. See, my brothers and sisters, this first builder understood that his foundation needed to be attached to something stable. So he built his foundation on a rock. And when the floodwaters came beating violently upon that house, the Bible says that house could not be shaken because it was built on a rock. Oh, I love that great hymn that says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest name, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. It's on Christ, the solid rock, I stand, because all of the ground is sinking sand. The Bible says that there was another builder who, without the proper foundation, built his house upon the earth. And when the storm came, it beat that house. And the Bible says that it fell not the next day, not the next week, not the next month, not the next year. The Bible said it fell immediately. And the ruin of it was great. Now notice that this builder, like the first, heard the Lord's words, but he made the choice not to act on what he heard. And I need to pause here parenthetically and to tell us, my brothers and sisters, that it's not enough to just show up at church and listen to the word, because the barometer that you have heard the word is you are diligent in your obedience to what the word has said. James said, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Can I tell you, Dr. Jemison, the church is being filled with too many who frequent the house of God but are unable to stand when the storms of life come. But God is looking for some solid rock, I shall not be moved, folks. who will stand on what God's word has declared. God is looking for somebody who will not be able to shout after the storm, but you can shout in the storm, knowing that God will bring you out all right. And I believe there ought to be somebody here who is a witness that you found out in your own life that when you trust God in the good days, God will see you through the bad. Have I got a witness today? Isn't God a good God? Isn't God an able God? Won't God do just what God said? I remember when we were younger, we didn't have a whole lot. Five of us grew up in one house, and sometimes we had to share toys. Well, we had Bozo the Clown. And the interesting thing about Bozo was nothing could keep Bozo down. I had some little mischievous brothers. They kick Bozo, they throw Bozo, they slap Bozo, and guess what? Bozo just kept popping up. That no matter what they did, no matter what the circumstance was, Bozo just kept standing up. Now, what they finally realized is they performed the first surgery in the hood. So they decided that they would cut Bozo open. And when they cut Bozo open, they found everything that was in Bozo came out. And they found out that what was keeping Bozo pumping up was what was on the inside. Come here, let me tell you something. If you want to be able to stand, if you want to be able to hold on and hold out, it's going to be based on what you got on the inside. I need to tell somebody who showed up this morning in Second Baptist for this Family and Friends Day that if you're going to continue to stand, you've got to know that what you got on the inside will keep you bouncing back up. Somebody can declare, I've been through the storm and the rain, but I made it. I had my heartache and I had my pain, but I made it. So I've got to shout this morning, hallelujah, thank God I made it. Well, three things. And I'm finished. Because if you're going to have power in an anchored soul, if it's not going to fail on you, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to have the foundation of a committed faith. You've got to have the foundation of a committed faith. Now, if you know anything about building, one knows that any good building must first begin with a good and solid foundation. Paul said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise builder, Paul said, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Anybody a witness that were it not for faith in the Lord that you wouldn't made it? Anybody here who's found out that God is all you need when God is all you got? Anybody, somebody's a witness that if God had not showed up when he did, the way he did, you'd be waving your white flag of defeat because you mustered up enough faith to hold on to watch God work it out. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. That the very foundation for us as believers is we've got to walk by faith and not by what we see. So Jesus says, everyone to truth. So if you're going to have a power of an anchored soul, you got to have a committed faith. But then secondly, you've got to possess a fortitude that will not waver. Jesus, in this parable of these two wise and foolish builder, sets up this dichotomy. He says, whoever hears the saying, does them, I will liken him unto the wise man who built on a rock. Rains came, floods came, winds blew, the house shook, but it did not fall. So Jesus is saying that that's who you need to be like. But then he said that was a foolish one who decided that trying to build it on a foundation took too much. So he said, I'm going to build mine on sand. See, we live in an instant society. We want everything quick, fast, and in a hurry. So you don't have percolating coffee pots anymore. That you got some instant. You don't make grits and oatmeal the old way. You got some instant. We got a whole lot of instant stuff. And sometimes the instant doesn't do what the long process does. So sometimes God's got to leave us in the long process so he can make us what he wants us to be. Oh, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that the God we serve shows us that it makes a difference when you build on a solid foundation. Well, I got to tell you a little story about my little friend Chippy, the parakeet. Chippy never saw it coming. One second, Chippy was peacefully perched in his cage. The next minute, Chippy was sucked in, washed up, and blown over. When Chippy's owner decided she was going to clean Chippy's cage with a vacuum cleaner. So she removed the attachment from the ends of the holes and stuck it in the cage. The phone rang. She turned to pick up the phone, barely said hello, and in Chippy went. Sucked in and called her to grasp, put the phone down, turn off the vacuum cleaner, open the bag, and there was Chippy still alive but stunned and covered with dust and soot. So she grabbed Chippy, raced to the bathroom, turned on the faucet, held Chippy under the water, but realizing Chippy was soaked and shivering, she did what any compassionate owner would do. She reached for the hair dryer and blasted Chippy. Poor little Chippy. Can I tell you, Chippy didn't sing much anymore. Chippy just sat. Chippy just stared. Why? Because Chippy had been sucked in, washed up, and blown over. And that's enough to steal your song. Brother, is there anybody here that about now, because of the storms of life, you feel like you've been sucked in, washed over, and blown over? But if you don't mind, you ought to tell your neighbor, neighbor, regardless of what I'm going through, I'm still on my feet. So why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for my heavenly home when Jesus is my portion? A constant friend is he. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. Why do I know it? I see because I'm happy. I see because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know. I know. He watches me. Aren't you glad today that there's somebody who's watching? If we as children of God expect to operate in the power of an anchored soul, you've got to have a committed faith, and you've got to operate in a fortitude that will not waver. But finally, if you're going to hold on, the power of an anchored soul, it's got to be done in a realization that God can back up what he said. I need to tell us that when the storms of life come, there's only one thing that will help us stand in the storm and is standing on the rock of God. I have to ask you, do you know who God is? James Cone says, God is the God of the oppressed. Paul Tillich said, God is the ultimate reality. Origen said, God is the unmoved mover. The philosopher said that God is the uncaused cause. But grandmama and my papa didn't know about all of those things. But they did know that he will be a shelter in your time of storm. They knew that he will be a rock in a weary land. They knew that he will be your shelter in the time of a storm. They knew that he was a doctor that never lost a case. They knew that he'll walk with you, and he will talk with you, and he will tell you that everything will be all right. Anybody know that the Lord is all right? Don't fool me now. Do you know that the Lord is all right? Has he made a way for you? You ought to say he's all right. Has he lifted you up? You ought to say he's all right. Has he healed your body? You ought to say that he's all right. What do you know about Jesus? He's all right. What do you know about Jesus? He's all right. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. I'm so glad that there is one who knows what this is all about. Because they marched him up the Golgotha's hill. He knew what being in a storm was all about. His storm got him nailed to an old rugged cross. His storm had him declare, nobody takes my life, I lay my life down. His storm declared, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. His storm caused the veil in the temple to be rent from the top to the bottom. His storm let him die on that old rugged cross. And they took him down and they put our rock in a rock, laid him on top of a rock, sealed the rock with a rock, but the rock of ages could not be held down, because early, 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 early Sunday morning, he got up with all power. He got up with all power, joy-giving power, heart-fixing power, way-making power. Do you know him? Say yes. Do you know him? Say yes. Have you tried him? Have you tried the Lord? Isn't he all right? I'm so glad that my soul has been anchored in the Lord. I'm so glad that my soul has been anchored in the Lord. Somebody around you and say, I don't know what you're going through, but keep standing on the word. Don't know what a kind of storm you have, but keep standing on the word, because the God we serve is an able God. How able is he? He's so able that he's exceeding and abundantly above all that we can ever ask or think. I dare you right now to give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Give the Lord a praise. Somebody ought to say thank you. Somebody ought to shout glory. Somebody ought to say yeah.
People of God said amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Not the man of God break unto us the word of God. Not the man of God preach today. If not our hearts burn within as the man of God spoke to us on our way. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What do you say? Hallelujah. Thanks be to God. This church is not vacant. Hallelujah. Solomon Chapel, you got a preacher in your...
Right.
Be someone here today. You're working on your foundation, but you're not building on a rock.
Let the Lord use you now.
So we invite you to come that you may build on a rock. This rock is Jesus. Sings and the church stands. We invite you to come.
Why should I feel discouraged?
Would you please stand?
And
if
why
you can.
Should the shadows call? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? He's my cause. Is know he watches. He watches me. That's why I sing.
Come on,
sing. I sing because I'm happy. And I sing.
Eternal and everlasting God, the God of grace, the God of mercy, the God of love, the God of forgiveness, we come now seeking your divine blessings upon Sandra Windham. Lord, you know what her needs are, but she comes trusting you this day that her needs will be met. We thank you, our God, that there is no need that a person has that you cannot meet. And so we thank you that in the midst of sorrow, you bring joy. In the midst of grief,
yes, God. Yes,
you remind
God.
Us that you are the God of life.
Yes, you do, God.
So we thank you, our God, that you have given us hope that no matter how far we have fallen, that you can reach down with your hand of love and pick us up. And so we pray now that your hand of love, grace, mercy, truth would enter into Sandra's life. And that when she leaves this place, she would be able to say, it was good that I was there. For when the Holy Spirit fell, it encouraged me in the midst of this crowd to say, Lord, I need you. Thank you, our God, for her faith, for her trust. Thank you for her giving of herself this day to the Christ. Bless now. Renew her spirit. That has been taken away from her, we pray that you would restore it so that we too can say, surely God was in that place and that he was in her. May she build now on a solid foundation. May she not be sucked in by the world, nor overheated by sin, but that she may be blessed, so that when she leaves this place, she can say, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Glory God.
Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine.
Bless your name, God.
In the name of Christ, our Lord, we pray.
In the name of Jesus.
And all the people of God said amen.
Amen.
And those who were not afraid shouted hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Sandra, for your faith.
Thank you, God.
Thank you for coming forward. Just a few more minutes, and we'll be able to come and shake this great preacher's hand.
Bless the Lord.
And then dine with he and his wife and with this fine delegation from his church. Come on, come on, come on. You pray? Come on, let's thank God for these.
I'm thankful this morning that my soul has been anchored and that I'm standing on that solid rock. And Deacon Martin, I'm glad I'm not at the Spurs game or Fiesta or anywhere else. I'm thankful to Sister Francine Prosser Johnson for sharing her friend and now our friend, this preacher this morning, and this choir from Tolliver Chapel Missionary Baptist Church. God bless you. Dupree and I could not do this celebration without a lot of help, so we want to take this moment to give some shout-outs to those who are not just hearers of the word, they're doers of the word. And when we asked, they just said yes. So we'd like to thank, first of all, our pastor.
Thank you.
Reverend Dr. Robert L. Jemison for his leadership and his guidance. We'd like to thank the First Lady who quietly goes around to make sure everything is done. We'd like to thank Reverend Keith Jackson and the church staff of Miss Winfrey and Miss Wilridge for keeping my husband from hyperventilating and therefore keeping me from hyperventilating. We like to especially thank Mrs. Virginia Pope.
MVP.
Dupree said MVP and the dynamic decorators that put together our reception. When you go over there, you're going to say, wow, it's absolutely stunning. So we also would like to thank those who participated in the Strikes for Christ. And I'll let Dupree say a few words.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for welcome, church, and for being here and supporting us. This year, we started something new that hopefully, with the pastor's blessing, that will continue. We had the first annual Strikes for Christ, for bowling extravaganza on Friday. And my granddaughter, I'd like to have her stand, Lauren Adams, she got a strike for Christ. But we had a wonderful time. We celebrated the whole weekend. It's been a beautiful weekend. At this time, I want to be a little selfish. All my family, my personal family and friends who came here to support me, would you please stand, please?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much. At this time, I know we're ready to go and eat, and it's ready. It's going to be a nice meal. There's beautiful surroundings. So thank everyone for coming out. And I wanted to thank Dr. Hunter one more time. And to all my Greek brothers, I love you all. I just want to let you know that's an alpha man.
I know you're right. I know you're right.
I want to take this time, this brief time, to say thank you to the Adams family for sharing with us today. If you want to see a man who loves the Lord and who loves worshiping, you need to come to the 8 o'clock service or the 11 o'clock service and watch Dupree praise God. He is a man of faith. And I'm glad that he is a part of the Second Baptist Church. Thank you, Sister Blair, for
for choosing him to be your husband and change your name. And thank you for your Christian witness to bring him to the church that you love, Second Baptist. And thank you for your membership and for your faith. Sister Adams served our Girl Scouts for over 13 years. Amen. And gave leadership to that. And when she got ready to give it up, I said, no, you can't give it up. She said, yes, I can, Reverend Johnson. I'm going to give it up, but I'm going to put somebody in place that will love the Girl Scout ministry as much as I do. And she did, with putting Bridget Lewis McKinney in that position. Now back to Dupree. Dupree told me on Friday, he said, Reverend Jimison, one of my friends could not come, but I invited him to come, and he couldn't come, so he said, I can't come, but I'm gonna give an offering. And Dupree put in my hand a $500 check, and I said to myself, I can't handle this. So I gave it back to him and told him, give it to the financial secretary. And so I want to thank you for thinking enough of your church to invite people to come, and when they could not come, they sent a contribution. Now, that's a new paradigm. That's a new message. That's a new way of praising God. Do want you to enjoy the meal that has been prepared for you. We're going to bless the meal now. We shouldn't have any formation, any lines forming and everything. Mr. Clay is our caterer. When you get over there, just tell him the food has been blessed. When do I start eating? Where's my plate? Amen. Thank you again. Thank you again for coming. I want to say thank you to my ex-boss. He and his wife are here. She lost her brother in a car wreck in Germany, but she's here in faith. So thank you, Mrs. Arendelle and Cam, for being here. Cam, I'm going to mess with him. Cam walked to me and gave me a check, and he said, this is my contribution for the day. I looked at the check, and I said, thank you, thank you. And I looked at the check. He said, now, is my name on the bathroom wall? I said, if you don't put some more on here, it's going to be on the bathroom wall. So we're grateful for your presence, grateful for your friendship, and for your fellowship this day. He's going to write us one of them big checks. He's a big stepper. I got big stepper friends. So he's going to write us one of those big checks. I told him, I said, I need $1.7 million to pay off the note. He looked at me and laughed. He said, man, I got that kind of money. I said, but your Jesus has. And you, his friend, talk to him. So thank you, thank you. Pastor, I'm going to write Miles Jones and tell him that you took your homiletic class and it didn't take you. You took the class, and thank you for how you exegeted the scriptures today and how you proclaimed God's word. We love you, and you're invited next year to be our Friends Day speaker next year, and we won't have problems with the road next year. So you'll fill up the choir stand. How about that choir? Y'all like that?
Yeah.
Come on, let's give Second Baptist Church Choir a great hand for their work. Miss LaFay, thank you. Miss Lee, thank you.
Amen, amen.
Mrs. Jackson, thank you. Where's my violin player?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Drama. Thank you.
Amen.
And to my drummers. Thank you, and four readers. Thank you. It's now time for us to go. So somebody don't say amen.
Amen.
Now, would you do me a favor? Would you allow this choir that has come from Waco, Texas, and lifted our hearts with their singing, would you allow them to get their meal first?
They have to go to Austin and sing.
Yes, God.
And thank you to the Adams, father and daughter, for giving of your time today. There's a book signing. I saw Gerald Flowers. I guess he's gone over to sign.